I thought about this text for today from Luke's Gospel and meditated on this all week of what was being said here and why Luke wrote it down. First, of course, we have to understand a little bit about Luke. Luke was a Gentile doctor, and Luke had a way of writing whereby he starts out in the very beginning of Acts to talk about talk to his friend Theophilus about writing things down in a way that would be more statistical. Luke was a doctor. That makes an awful lot of sense that he would write this way. Also, if you notice when you read through Luke's Gospel, you see that Luke is focusing on people. Being a doctor, of course, he had an interest in people. So he wrote an awful lot about people's reactions in certain situations, how the people around what was going on with Jesus were reacting and acting and their response to certain situations. He also presents Jesus as the Son of Man. In other words, Luke is presenting the human side of Jesus and how this human man in human form acted, what he taught, and how Jesus, the human, was truly the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, that he was the Messiah that God had promised. When I was reading over this, and this has sort of been on my mind for several weeks now. We only find this in Luke, by the way. Luke's the only one that tells about this. About how the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That worked in my mind for several weeks. Why Luke would write this, what does he mean that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem? And as I thought about this a little bit, meditated on this story, I don't know why, it doesn't make sense that this the mind picture kept coming to my mind about a baseball game. And of course, you know, we like to have examples about certain things to understand them a little bit better. And I kept feeling the Lord bringing this baseball game scenario to my mind. That it was the bottom of the ninth inning. The score was tie. There was a runner on first base, and the man who came to bat was not the best batter on the team. His batting average was not that good, and things didn't look good for the team at bat. So as the batter stepped up to the plate and the ball came towards home plate, the batter swung with all his might. The ball was a long fly ball out to left center field, and as the fielders went out to catch the ball, they reached up to grab it on the warning track near the wall, and they dropped it. By the time they scooped the ball up to throw it in, the runner who was at first base had already rounded second, and he was approaching third base at a high speed. And as the pitch or as the throw was made to home plate to get the out at home plate, the runner rounded third base, resolutely heading for home plate. No hesitation is what the word means. No hesitation, fixed and firm in purpose to get the winning run and win the game so that it wouldn't go on any longer. He resolutely set out for home plate. And as he came at top speed to home plate and approached home plate, he got within a few feet of it and he heard the throw, the ball, hit the catcher's glove with a big loud smack. So he thought his only hope was to resolutely dive for home plate. And as he dove for home plate, the ball in the catcher's glove, the catcher had to tag him. As he dove for home plate, the catcher crouched down, was awaiting his arrival. He stretched down his arms. He stretched down his arms to deceive the catcher. And as the catcher reached down to tag one arm, he reached with the other and touched home plate. And the team won the ball game. Now, how does that have anything to do with our story? Let's think about it a little bit. Jesus was in the region of Galilee to the north, walking, going around in ministry, healing and teaching people about the kingdom of God, healing those who were sick, giving sight to the blind, helping the lame to walk. He was in Bethsaida, he was in Capernaum, he was in Gennesaret, he crossed the Sea of Galilee, all the great stories, casting out demons, all these wonderful things that this man, Jesus, was doing, Luke tells us about. Our text today happens after he had been up on the Mount of what we call Transfiguration. He had taken Peter, James, and John with him, went up on the mountain to pray, and as he was praying, his appearance changed. His clothes became bright as a flash of lightning, and Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, speaking with Jesus about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment. And I have success again. The baby is asleep back there. Awesome. I see her passing around and she's asleep. So there Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and Moses, talking about his departure. Okay? And shortly after this, we don't know how long after, the time approached, as Jesus is up in the north in Galilee, the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, so he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Why does Luke write that? It's not in any other gospel, it's here in Luke, and he uses this word that he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He was fixed and firm in his purpose with no hesitation. The King James Version says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, let's understand a couple things. Jesus didn't end up in Jerusalem for the Passover and say, "Oh my gosh, they're going to crucify me." He knew exactly what was going to happen. He had already told his disciples on various occasions this was going to happen. In verse 21, Jesus warned them not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. And he said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus knew that. He knew that throughout his whole ministry. In verse 44, he says to everyone who was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." Jesus had told his disciples on various occasions that the Son of Man, the Son of God, must go to Jerusalem. There he'll be betrayed. There he has to suffer and be killed. And on the third day he'll be raised to life. The Bible tells us they didn't fully understand what he was telling them until after he was risen from the dead. And the purpose for all of that taking place. He told them what was going to happen. Jesus was in control. Now, I thought about this and I marveled how the human nature is to steer away from danger, right? To steer away from problems. If you know there's a problem coming, or you're sensing there's a problem coming, what are you going to do? You're going to steer away from it, right? You're not going to resolutely get involved in that issue. And maybe sometimes it's something God's calling you to do, something that God, you feel God calling you to do, but you don't want to get involved because you know there are going to be issues, you know there's going to be struggles, there's going to be trials, tribulations, it's going to be hard work, so you steer away from it. You know, I found in my own personal life that the times that I grow the most in my faith and my relationship with God are those times that He calls me into, those times of trouble. You know, "Not your will, Lord, but or not my will, but your Lord be done. Your will be done, Lord." You see, that's when we grow the most. That's when we find strength in God, when He calls us into these situations. And we go inward, "Oh, Lord God, I can't do this. I really can't do this. I don't want to do this, God." And God says, I know you can, but my grace is sufficient. And I'm calling you into this for your good and my glory. Because when we come out on the other side, we are so in awe of God working in our lives. One of the problems in the church of the 21st century is we have lost our mission in the sense of being resolute in what we do. We've sort of lost our way in being fixed and firm in the purpose of the church. And we hesitate. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's what God's calling me to do. Kay got a call the other week. And she struggled with it. She said, "You need something to pray about? I just got invited to go on a mission trip." I said, "Well, I think we already have the answer to the prayer." You know? And I found that if God calls us to it, He's going to lead us through it. That's what's so awesome about God. Now let me get back to the text here, because I don't want to go on too long with this kind of stuff. I thought about Jesus being on the cross, saying, "It is finished." Here the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven. As He got closer and was actually there in the last hours, the Bible tells us that Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of God to be betrayed." When it got right down to the hours. But now here it was a few days, and the time approached for Him to be taken up to heaven, and He resolutely set out for Jerusalem. I thought about Him being on the cross, hanging there, saying, "It is finished." Jesus didn't say it was finished because it was all over with. It was done for. His ministry was cut off, and it was a failure. Now Jesus said, "My earthly ministry is finished. Now I'm going to be with My Father." He resolutely set out to Jerusalem for this very purpose. Not simply because that was what He was called to do, but because He wanted to do it. He was in total control. His mind was made up. He knew it was going to happen. But He still wanted to do it and resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Now I want you to think about something, because I thought about this. When Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, He had you and I in mind. He was a man on a mission. He had you and I in mind. There was no way for us to be saved from our sins and be free from the bondage of sin and death unless the ultimate sacrifice was paid for us, you see. Jesus knew exactly what He was doing, and He had you and I in mind when He did it. That's pretty awesome. And He could have said, no. I'm not going there and die for Him. No way. He's a bad character. He's a sinner, in fact. I'm not going to die for Him. But you know, He did. He did. In Ephesians, Paul says to the Ephesians, that Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. He didn't give Himself up for us because we were good, because we loved Him. He just simply loved us so much, He said, "Here, I'm going to give up My life for you. Will you receive Me?" You see? And for people who think that we're saved by our good works, by being good people, how many of us would have resolutely set out for Jerusalem knowing we were going to be killed when we got there? Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and He sent messengers ahead of Him into a Samaritan village to get things ready as they came along. The people there didn't welcome Him because He was heading for Jerusalem. He was a Jew. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't really get along. And they said, we're not going to take care of this guy. We don't want this guy here. He's a Jew. And in fact, he doesn't care about us. He's just simply on his way to Jerusalem. And he wants to take advantage of us. They didn't really accept Him. So, of course, what did James and John do? They said, "Let's call fire down on these people. Let's get rid of these people. They're no good. They're wicked. They don't receive You, Jesus." I think, well, man, that's like some of the church today. We're looking around us and we're saying, "They don't deserve mercy. They don't deserve forgiveness. God called down fire on them. Look what they did." Jesus says, No. Let's just keep focusing forward and moving forward in our mission and ministry in life. Resolutely fixed and firm in purpose with no hesitation. Luke was a doctor. He observed humanity and he wrote about humanity in the sense of Jesus and the community and culture of the day, writing about the response of the people. And you know, it never fails when we open Luke and we see what Jesus was doing, His miracles and His power and His presence in the community and the culture. And what were the people doing? Some of them received Him, some of them didn't. Just like today. Things haven't changed much in thousands of years. Jesus is still Jesus. The situations are still the same. Some people receive Him and some don't. And I ask myself when I read some of the stories, which ones am I here? Who am I being in the story today? Am I being those who really receive it and embrace it? or am I just kind of rejecting it as something that's a coincidence, you see? Luke was also writing about the Messiah, the Old Testament prophesied about. Writing about the Messiah, this human man that had powers beyond human ability. So Luke can show us there was something special about what this man was doing. You know, Luke knew the insides of a person, the outsides of a person. But he met the man Jesus, and Luke was transformed and followed him because he knew this was no ordinary man. He was the Messiah on a mission. And his mission in the Old Testament was to save his people and free Israel. And you see, they were under Roman occupation, so they thought this Messiah that was coming was going to free us. How in the world would he free us if he was dead? He's not really the Messiah. Look, he's hanging there and he's dead. You see, but Jesus resolutely set out, fixed and firm in his purpose, no hesitation, to save his people and free Israel from sin and death. And his ultimate mission was not only to save Israel, but to save humanity. The mission was greater than what they understood at the time. And we have the blessing of looking back on it now, having it on paper and reading about it and saying, thank you, God, praise be to you for this great message that we have. And the only way to accomplish that mission was to go to Jerusalem, and Jesus knew it. And he didn't hesitate a bit because he was thinking of you and I. What a man. What a Messiah. What a Savior who came and taught and turned toward home that we would win the battle and be victors over sin and death. So what did Jesus do? As his ministry in Galilee was over, he rounded third base, and without hesitation, he resolutely moved forward to Jerusalem to defeat the enemy or the other side. And as he reached Jerusalem and came to that day when it looked like he was going to be out and the team possibly could lose, he stretched out his arms and deceived the enemy, who was laughing, saying, "You're dead now, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Oh, no, I'm not." And he reached for the plate and he was safe. You see. So time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. He resolutely set out for Jerusalem. There's an awful lot of sweetness in that word. An awful lot of power. An awful lot of love. A lot of forgiveness. A lot of grace. I could go on and on about that, because folks, when he did that for you and I. He could have turned around and ran the other way, but he didn't. Not only did he want to show the people that he lived with and lived with him his purpose and his willingness to fulfill his mission and his purpose, he wanted to prepare a way for you and I so that we have that way, that narrow gate, that one way to eternal life. And that happened that day in Jerusalem because Jesus resolutely set out to fulfill his mission and make that way plain for us. Praise be to God for Luke and his great messages to us in his gospel, that he wrote this down inspired by the Holy Spirit, because it's comforting to us, folks. It's comforting. I want you to meditate on that today and this week. Jesus created the heavens and the earth. John tells us in his gospel, everything that was created through him. Nothing was created that was, you know, without him. He knows you. He knows me. Personally, he knew us then and resolutely set out to die for us. He had your face, your person in mind. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Lord our God, we do thank you for